Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. This is 204 and it's the Vinyl Fetish Show. I'm playing a lot of my vinyl I brought back from San Francisco.
This is Radio Freedom.
Oh, and Palm Springs.
Nothing.
Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. Turn that up a bit. And yes, you are listening to Radio... Well, I listen to Radio Clash. I just told you that. And this is the vinyl fetish edition. And what it is it's a special show about all the vinyl I got while I was in San Francisco. You'll hear the CDs probably in due course, probably maybe another show in the near future. But this is a special show. I bought lots and lots of vinyl. Unusually for me, I bought lots of secondhand vinyl while in San Francisco. A lot of it I haven't actually heard. I heard that one that was just playing then, which was Betty Boo with Doing the Do, with a Shep Pettibone mix I've not heard before, which is Doing the Do, the Good Do Be mix. And apparently Jeb played the other side to me, which is the Damned If You Do mix, which apparently he used to play on his show all the time. But I must say I like the more traditional mix. There's also the Beatmasters Club mix, which is I don't know, it's all right. It's not as good as the single mix. So yes, I bought that for $1.99 in Amoeba in San Francisco, and everything went well in San Francisco. He says, reaching around to put the record away. Everything went well in San Francisco, and Coachella was great. I'll probably do another show about the actual, including more of the music that I really dug from Coachella, which will be the next show or the next show but one. And then, we did San Francisco, I saw Jeb, £50 note, I saw Thomas, his partner, met him at last, then met with Steve, who I was bunking with over Coachella, those known as Zed Bear, and his partner, and met up with JR, who's always good to see, and went to Booty San Francisco and saw A&D. It was a mad time. I did the April Ween, which is the Halloween in April they did, where actually loads of people turned up in costume, and it was actually a success. And Smash Up Derby were brilliant. So I posted a video of Smash Up Derby, and if you want to learn more about my trip and stuff, it's on the blog. It's on radioclashblog.com. And Coachella was great. A lot of the bands are great. It was Duran Duran was brilliant. Sisters brilliant. Kanye was okay. Cults was great, which we'll talk about in a second. And Health was amazing. Real sort of heavy rock. And I think my ears haven't really recovered from Coachella since. Yes, tinnitus and stuff. I have to be careful in future. I need to start wearing not earmuffs. What are they? Yeah, things in my ears to actually stop ear damage. That would be good. Then I did Booty London when I got back, and DJed in a kilt and a top hat and a leather vest. Not shades, as I was planning, because I wouldn't be able to see what I was doing. But that was very good. First time I wore a kilt. I've actually bought a proper 8-yard kilt, proper woolen black 8-yard kilt. And I've also worn it in anger at Crimes Against Pop, which did like a special one-off for Japan. So, it's been a busy time, so hence not very much podcasting. What I'm going to play next, if I can find it on the floor, is... it was record store day while we were in Coachella. So at the record shop that was there, I managed to make some purchases. And there they are. And I'm also probably going to throw in a few little bits of vinyl that I've not actually managed to play, and I've got no idea what's on them. So this is going to be a little bit of mystery meat. Oh my god, it's white vinyl. This is Cults, I love Cults, and they were really, really good at Coachella. They're kind of like I've played them on the show before, sort of indie band. They released a special, oh so special, that reminds me of Suede with Aaron, they were very good as well. A special sort of record for Record Today with a song called Abducted, which I've not heard. So this could be really shit, and also I have to remember not to play at the wrong speed, because that's far too, that's just far too jumpy for my liking. And have one record decks, of course, like usual. There are going to be lots of stops and gaps and things. Of course, it's white vinyl. I don't know where the bloody thing's from. Sound of vinyl. Where's my bed gone? There it is. Yes, white vinyl. Very, the quietest thing known to man, obviously. Oh yeah, and the backing of this is obviously the from a certain computer game, but it isn't really. That would be illegal. But, yeah, obviously white vinyl. I forgot, coloured vinyl's really quiet, isn't it? You see, you lose all these old school tips from the yesteryear. I'm sure people who are, like, 18 now are like, what the hell is this when they see a record? Strangely, I'll play at the end. But I got Go Outside on vinyl as well, special vinyl, which was originally released as an EP, so they must have re-released it as a single song. But both of these have got the Go Outside the Two Bears remix on the back, which I might play at the end. Or I might not, I don't know. So, I still have to break into several of these. It sounds like I'm a bloody thief, doesn't it? But I think I'll play this one next. A lot of my selections were stuff that was just like, what the hell? I was at Streetlight Records and Amoeba Records. I actually didn't go back to Amoeba. I was going to go back specifically. So I went there with Jeb, and they were like sort of tapping their toes and waiting for me to finish. Like, oh, will he ever be done? Will he ever be done? You know, it's like, you know, we've been here hours. And I meant to go back. Probably a good thing for my wallet. I didn't, because I spent far too much money on records as is. But this is the Love Limited Orchestra, which is obviously Barry White's orchestra, not Human League Unlimited, because that was their tribute to it. And this is a 12-inch. When is it from? 1979. I remember it well. No, I don't. And I might play both sides, actually. I want to play the first side, because it's just so... Where is it, the first side? Is it A side? It might be the B side. The BPM is 124, count them. And it was $10. but worth it, though it's actually covered in crap. And where the hell have I put my record thingy? But yes, it's Love Unlimited Orchestra. Oh, it's not for sale, it's a promo, I didn't know that. And on, oh, is it 20th Century Fox Records? And it's the theme from Shaft. I just can't believe this, the idea of Barry White doing the theme from Shaft. The other one is the theme from Superman. Apparently they did a whole album called Super Movie Themes, just a little bit different. Well, I'm sure they are. And I'm not exactly sure which is the A side and which is the B side, to be really honest. Apparently someone's marked the Superman side as 3-, and the other one as 3-. What does that mean? Oh, maybe they pitched it down. Maybe they're going for a crunk thing. Oh, I better turn that down. Otherwise you'll hear my email all the fucking time. So anyway, let's give this a go. And obviously, what is the bloody BPM? Yeah, okay, it's 33. Fight the power. It's all kind of vinyl-y. It's going to make it into vinyl. It's like a Star Wars one, isn't it? It's like Miko. Anyway, you get the idea. I would just say that it's a really bad idea to actually do that to a record, but hey, this is a pretty dirty record anyway. And I don't mean that in a sort of dirty bass way. Poor record. But I must say, no, that was fairly good. I do that loop wasn't very good. But yes, no, this is pretty good. I think I prefer the Superman side more. We're now going to, as soon as I put this record away, talk among yourselves a bit. We're now going to do a bit of hip house. I actually managed to find one of the original DJ International hip house compilations. I used to collect the DJ International sort of house records and some of the hip housey records as well. I love DJ International. They are wonderful. And I don't have absolutely no idea. It's got Turn Up the Bass on this, but I have to read from the back of it. Hip house is now the most successful form of house. Because of this, everyone wants to take credit for creating it. Well, it didn't last long, did it? When Fast Eddie's LP Jack the Sound came out in 1988, hip house was born. Reviewed as history in the making, the next step in music. What the hell? Fast Eddie was able in Yo-Yo Get Funky to combine house and hip-hop in a way that created a whole new style called hip house. Tyree was right there to create the second hip house record, Turn Up the Bass, when he invited Cool Rocksteady to rap on his new record, which went pop in the United Kingdom at number 8. Those who would like to try to take credit, remember this, the word hip house was not used to label music until Eddie did it. He wanted to combine the audiences of house and hip-hop together. A rap on a house record does not make it hip-house. The very first house records had rap on them in 84, 85. That and other recordings from England, oh yeah, because England can't do hip-house, are house raps. This is a compilation of the first and latest of hip-house. Hip-house. A style will be around for a long time. Oh dear. That didn't actually happen, did it? I do my little cloth, and I have lost my little cloth. Yes, everything's going wrong on the ring here. What shall we have? What should we play from this wondrous record of the next stage in music altogether, and no music will happen ever again after it. I think I'll try some of the things, because obviously I've played Turn Up the Bass on the podcast before. Shall we play what they claim to be the first one, or shall we play what's the new shizzle on this record from his new up-and-coming LP? Sorry, we'll play the new stuff and see how it goes. I reserve the right to skip on to something more interesting if it turns out to be shit. Okay, here goes. It won't be mixed. A bit crackly.
Party, get ready and move your body. kicking bass in your face like a ninja. Set it off, y'all, keep jamming. Get up and dance when this cut is planned. Jam D, a port from Chi-Town, or the mic here to make you get down with something dope and not sorry. Grab a partner and move your body.
You get the idea. Let's try the yogurt funky on the other side. I noticed the first one is actually with Sundance, who's a female rapper. I never actually heard any hip house of female rapping, but that's Fast Eddie's record. And I probably, yeah, let's see if we can try and get it. Can we aim? I was never very good at lining these things up. So, of course, we missed. Okay, here is Yo-Yo Get Funky by Fast Eddie. Try another record. That's what I want to do, boys. Oops. Yeah, that's a good way of ruining your record. So, that was what Fast Eddie was doing in 1998. And another part of the world in, I think, the same time, actually. I'm not exactly sure when this came out. I should know. It's either 87 or 88. I think it's 87. But in the UK... was the Time Lords, and I found the 12-inch of Doctoring the TARDIS. And interestingly, this is the TVT version, and I love the fact it has on other data, it has like, made in USA, other data, probably the most nauseating record in the world. Actually, I beg to differ on that one, but hey, it's $5 from Amoeba, so... and there's a minimal mix on here, and I've never heard that minimal mix. I actually have the CD single, because it's... they deleted their catalogue in the UK, but they didn't delete it the rest of the world. So you can still get KLF Jam's records in other parts of the world. So let's put it under 45. Let's spin it. And let's see if we can actually get it lined up properly. I can't remember if it's 87 or 88. I think it might be 88. I'd say it was on for quite some time, so I'm going to play all of it. But this is the club side.
Yeah.
You get the idea. It's nearly finished anyway. Yes, that's wonderful. I love that. And yes, a good club mix. Yeah, we seem to be stuck in 1987 and 1988, actually. This was actually, I sort of clarified, and it is 1988. But yes, this record is actually in 1988 as well. I'm going to try out the B-side, because I'm not sure if I've heard it. Certainly, I've not heard the US mixes on the other side. And this was a UK number one, as was the last song. Both in 1988, I think, yes. Although I'm not totally sure if this was actually, this is issued in 1988. I have a nasty feeling that the UK number one was 1987. This is S Express, and this is, if hopefully it is actually at 45. No, it isn't, it's 33, just to really fuck you over. And this is the theme from S Express.
It is a trip.
Countdown is progressing.
I forgot, facepalm. Yeah, they took all the good samples out of the US version, didn't they? As he says, as he flings it across the room. Actually, I don't, but I feel like doing so. I've forgotten about that. Oh dear. Onward and upwards, as they say in crap consultancies. Okay, we're still staying in 1988. He said, rapidly moving onwards. Yes. We have got the hit. Well, obviously you'd only sell this in the US. The House Sound of London. D-Mob, Bank and Party, Richie Rich, DS Building Contractors. I might play them just to see how strange they are. Robot DJs, House Addicts, The Speech, and Simon Harris. And of course, the Simon Harris, I think, is that song. Oh, no, it isn't. It's Here Comes the Sound. But of course, this We Call It Acid is on there, which I won't play because I've played in the podcast before. What should we have? Ooh. I was thinking of trying Bang Party, going home to see my baby, which I have dim remembrances of might actually be not shit. Produced by Bang the Party. That's good of them. Although we could have... Oh, because, of course, yeah, Sells a House was done by Richie Rich, which is classic. Or shall we try DS Building Contractors? One for the book. Paul Hartnell? Yeah. I think so.
Go.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. That was the only thing that produced by DS Building Contractors. That's a terrible name, I have to say. But that was Paul Hartnell of Orbital fame. Hence why I went, ooh, and put it on. Interestingly, on the other side is a track by The Speech called I Have a Dream. And it is, they've got it wrong. They've got the name wrong here. And it's Rob Davis and Paul Oakenfold. Yes. I have a nasty feeling it might be some kind of CNC Music Factory type horror, but I'll just try Bang the Party and see what it's like. I'm curious. Because I kind of remember Bang the Party, but I kind of don't. And I have heard Trans Dance, which is by D-Mob. And it's on Discogs if you want to look. I've got like some strange one LP version.
Lining it. Oh!
No, quite good. Quite good. Don't construe that as a criticism. I just got a lot more things to play. But yes, that was good. Oh. No, it's that one. That would be helpful. Right, I'm going to play something. I've got actually no idea what it is, and it's a bit, I know it's a bit cheeky to actually just play this. in a way of finding out what it is live on air. But this is a hand sprayed 7-inch I got when I ordered my Scroobius Pip and Dan the Sack album, so it's them, but I've got no idea what's actually on it. So it might be something I've heard millions of times before.
Said join me inside. I had nothing to do that day outside of my head, so I decided to just follow and see where it led. It led me to a door. I grabbed the handle and used it. Stood before me was the physical embodiment of music. I could barely believe my eyes. She was a sepia goddess. Every contour was perfection. Her demeanor was modest. Even armed with all this beauty, she was in no way belittling. I'd liken her body to the opening riff from Little Wing. Her eyes burned deep with the passion of a nameless chain gang. Her lips smiled with the vibe of son of a preacher man. She told me she'd evolved over time. We sat in this empty room with just a bed and some wine. We'd talk for hours about her things she's seen and done, but not boasting. We'd pause as infidel, raise a glass and just toast things. We had a meeting of minds. She breathed new life in this old brain. She was the milk in my claw. I was the heart into her culture and showed me scars she'd acquired each time a genius would depart. Jimi Hendrix on her left hand, Johnny Cash on her heart. Little fingers, Mingus Davis and a leg scarred for Elvis. Ray Charles and her eyelids. Jim Morris on her pelvis. Then she asked about me and my musical stylings. All the things in life I found somewhat inspiring. I paused, the wine making me feel quite cocky. Feeling whatever I said she would take in and not mock me. I said, I'm a wordsmith and artist. I'm deep like the TARDIS. Every time I aim for something, I'm gonna hit the target. She joked, gangster rap. I said, no, but drop the G. You might start to get a better description of me. Angster rap, she said. If it sticks, you'll regret that. The most appalling moniker since the dawn of Dan LeSac. She was a sepia goddess, yet her demeanor was modest. Her hair was wild like the darkest, deepest of forests. Many before me had fallen at her feet and died. But that night, it made a connection and she'd let me inside. She was a sepia goddess, yet her demeanor was modest. Hair was wild like the darkest, deepest of forests. Many before me had fallen at her feet and died. But that night, it made a connection and she'd let me inside. Somebody's clothes are looking old, just like my jaded character, who thinks like an old bro, but sometimes acts like an amateur. This hat's an old classic in the first stage of dilapidation. It's a fair valuation that is making this equation a little top heavy, if you know what I mean. Because there's a fine line between a classic and a has-been. As I finished that sentence, I noticed the sadness in her eyes. This moved me, left my mind wondering why. As we laid there, she buried her head in my chest. I wrapped my arms around her, stroked her with the sweetest caress. I wanted to find the right line that could make her sad head lift. Wanted a chance to breathe life back into music like Redshift. Said she'd grown sick and tired of the same shit. I said there was anything in the world I could do, she should name it. She said sit in public places and quietly observe all of the speech's mannerisms, every action and word. And something inspires me to concentrate on that thing. Get a pen and pad and then produce a vocal offering. She said bring the lost art of conversation back. I'm sick to death of awkward silence, isn't all that crap. It's time to talk to one another, share your thoughts and facts. Then the more knowledge you give, the more you get right back. I looked her in the eyes and said I'd do what I could. Then she held my hand and kissed me, but not like a lover would. But then it also wasn't like a close friend or relative. Instead of exciting, it was calming like a spiritual sedative. And then we laid there until I woke in an empty room. If I couldn't still smell her skin, I'd be inclined to assume that I'd dreamt the whole thing, but I knew that I hadn't. And I'd seen the perfect balance of beauty and talent. After a moment of reflection, I rose to my feet. Opened the door with squinted eyes and stepped back into the street. I kind of staggered home and got out a pen and she said, and wrote down my inspiration and here's what it read. She was a sepia goddess, yet her demeanor was modest. Hair was wild like the darkest, deepest of forests. Many before me had fallen at her feet and died, but that night I made a connection and she let me inside. She was a sepia goddess, but her demeanor was modest. Hair was wild like the darkest, deepest of forests. Many before me had fallen at her feet and died, but that night I made a connection and she let me inside.
That's inappropriate. That's the first time we met music with a K from I got it free as part of buying the album, but it was a tour 7-inch white label, not released, not available in the shops. that's part of the reason why I ordered my my copy of Angles from America, because they were doing that. And it's a bit of sad and fanish, isn't it? I'm going to try this. 45 OG original material from 1986. Oh, so normal. I'm trying to check out the B-side though. I'm pretty sure it isn't the bootleg mix I'm looking for. These aren't the bootleg mixes you're looking for, because that's ultra rare. But it's called the Kiss Collision Mix, so let's give it a go. Oh, bollocks.
To rule my world, ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kiss.
Never switch on those beds in time. Nope, I knew that was gonna happen. Why do you think I've been switching it off?
Da, da.
This is quite a good instrument on its own. This is, of course, Hate Me Now by Nas. But yeah, that was a Collision, Kiss Collision mix by Age of Chance, and was the grand sum of $2.99. I quite like that, actually. I prefer it to the original version. I'm not a big fan of, even though it means I've actually played Age of Chance in like only every few shows. But I love the bootleg mix. I'd love a copy of the bootleg mix. If anyone's got it, I want to buy it off you. But that's Rare White Label. Shizzle. Okay, next we have Lip Sync. Appropriately dramatic music for Lip Sync, I have to say. Their career having one hit and then failing ever since. And this is from their follow-up album. How much did I buy it for? Grand Summer, actually, I think $3.99 was probably a bit of a rip-off, actually. But maybe not, we'll see. But this has got I'm going to play the other hit they had, which no one ever remembers. And I haven't even heard it, so it's Designer Music. Otherwise, I'm just going to randomly choose one song. And let's see if it is just a bit like the song I played earlier of Tyree, which is, I hope you noticed, it was just a retread of Turn Up the Bass. Even the lyrics, I was like, ooh dear. I love the piano chords, though. Or if it actually has its own identity. Thank you. Yes. Here we go. It plays at the wrong speed as well. That's really strange. I hope that isn't something that my record deck is deciding to do. Because I've maybe noticed that actually was playing at the wrong speed. Even I noticed that and I've never heard the song before. I'm just like, wrong. I went and verified it with what was on YouTube, which, yeah, I know YouTube might be playing at the wrong speed as well. But it just sounded wrong. Well, it also sounded wrong as well. You kind of see why it wasn't a hit. I think it was a hit, but it wasn't a bigger hit as Funky Town. It's just not as good. But interesting in a strange way. Okay, I'm going to play it something that is even stranger. If you can work out exactly what the RPM is. It should be 45, yeah. Okay. And this... stronger... is something called Discomo and is by The Residents, and what they did, an album called Eskimo, which I actually had one point, and it was just an extremely annoying album. I actually gave it away or something, but the one version I wanted to hear all these years is Discomo. I mean, hey, I paid, how much did I pay for this? Oh, it's on the label. No, it doesn't say. It wasn't cheap. They did a 12-inch called Discomo, which was... I think someone did, like, a list of records you should listen to before you die. I think one was Negative Land, and, Escape from Noise, and another one was Discomo. And I'd say it's a disco version of their experimental classic doing music of the Arctic Wasteland. Which I recommend if you want to clear cats out of your house. But hopefully this is better. They mint records that actually make you want to be dead. sorry. Yeah, well, I wonder if Goosebumps on the other side is any better. Apparently it's made of loads of toys. I think it's a cover of Mother Goose. It might be better. I use might in a very unadvised way there. I like The Residents. I've got their first album. It's good. Not so fond of their other stuff. At least that one let me laugh. I had heard bits of that before, actually. That was Goosebumps' Disaster. Can you believe it's actually... Let's see, it's Disaster, then there's Plants, there's Farmers and Twinkle. It's a whole kind of side of a 45 record. Which I might listen to one day. Or I might not. Why do I buy Residents albums? But this kind of hopefully will fit in. That was Go Outside. The Two Bears remix. That's To It, Go Outside by Cult. On white vinyl, no less. Which means I've got to turn all this down. Because I have to turn this thing up, because of course white vinyl is quieter, isn't it? But yes, it's no, it's a wonderful, wonderful remix. I like what they did there. Well, I've got two copies of it now. One on 33, strangely. The other single I played, the other side is 33, which I didn't play it, because that usually means there's less bass and less fidelity. 45 is the way to go. So I'm going to end by playing a couple of Tiny Tim's tune. I've got this. This goes out to Austin, who I'm... I don't know if he's listening. I did mention my podcast, probably. The person who picked me up in 440 in San Francisco late one night, and we went record shopping the next day, which is where I bought a lot of these records, including the Streetlight, the stuff from Streetlight. So, and he recommended this, and it's Tiny Tim Lost and Found 1963 to 1964. Lots of rare Tiny Tim records, and I'm going to play two of them, I think. It's probably going to be short, and yes, I assume it's going to be 33. We'll find out. He sounds like he's on Mogadon, but he might do anyway. You know, with Tiny Tim, I love Tiny Tim, especially later stuff. I don't know so much about the earlier stuff, earlier music he used to release on his own, but what I love about him is the same thing I love about Viv Stanzel. He took 78 records and then just repurposed them for the time, you know, and realised the wonder of those old 78s. The tunes are good, you know, you could cover them. There's a whole sort of magical world in there, and that's what the Bonzos understood, and that's what Tiny Tim understood. Yeah. In some senses, he is the US Roof Stone Saw, in some ways not, but there are some similarities. So I'm going to play, and this is not going to segue from Kanye at all. I'm going to play If I Had a Talking Picture of You, which I have actually got somewhere on off 78.
If I had a talking picture of you, I would run it every time I felt blue. I would sit there in the gloom of my lonely little room and applaud each time you whisper, I love you, love you, on the screen the moment you came in view. We would talk the whole thing over, we two. I would give 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee if I had a talking picture of you. On the screen the moment you came in view. We would talk the whole thing over, we two. I would get 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee if I had a talking picture of you.
That was If I Had a Talking Picture of You. I'm going to play out. Oh, well, we'll do the sign off. You can find out more about Radio Clash by going to Radio Clash or www.radioclashblog.com, and you can email me at tim@radioclashblog.com. And usually I didn't feature any demos this show, but usually sometimes I do, so send those to demos@radioclashblog.com. It's a very unusual show. When I was DJing at Booty London, and people were saying, oh, you're on a roll, so I thought I'd destroy it. Yeah, so you really need two record players to do this properly, really. But and you also need a record player that isn't actually running fast. So apologies if these songs have been mangled. I'm going to play out with Tiny Tim's song called April Showers. I'm pretty sure it is that, and I'm almost certain it is that April Showers by... Oh, the last song was recorded in 1964. And this one is 1966. Yeah, it's Buddy De Silva's, Louis Silva's, who are always good. You see De Silva, Silva's on any records, buy them.
April showers may come your way. They bring the flowers that bloom in May. So when it's raining, have no regret, because it is the failing rain. You know it's raining violets, and where you see and where you see flowers upon the hills, you soon will see flowers on daffodils. So keep on looking for a listening for the sound whenever April showers come along. One more time now, whenever April showers come along. Oh, I feel so good whenever April showers come along.
Well, not the version I wanted, but still good.